Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, coming up at 11:20. Oh, Dan, tell everyone what's coming up at 11:20. Pretty pumped.
Coach Riz, baby. Coach Risland, Lance Risland, going to hop on with us and give us the way that a coach would sit and watch this game. I'm excited to pick his brain on how he is going to evaluate Shedeur Sanders in here. 11:20 for that one. I'm excited.
All right, and then Daryl Ryder's going to join us today too, huh?
Yes, sir.
So we got Daryl, we got Chris Hassenheimer coming up at noon, we got Chris Rose at 1 o'clock. I need to ask you this too before we get moving. Are we doing quick predicts today? It is a game night. I think in honor of Shedeur having his first start, yeah, I think we should.
I think we owe that to ourselves.
Yeah.
I think we've earned that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. All right, we're going to do quick predicts
today. I mean, we could ask Coach Prime. You think Coach Prime would want us to do it? Coach, you want us to do quick predicts today?
That kind of turns me on, actually.
So I think we got it.
All right, please stand by and remember, quick predicts comes back today. Normally, the first time we do it, it's preseason for us, too. It's normally epic failure, right? First time we do it, it's normally epic failure.
I don't know if it's epic failure, but it definitely moves a little slower. Epic failure means like we go, 216, 474, 0092.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we'll see. I'll keep reminding you. Tell your friends. 216-474-0092. Coming up at 1:50. So stand by. 1:50. Go eat lunch. Listen to us. Drive around in the car. Have fun. What else are we expecting tonight? What else do we want to see from the Browns tonight? There are some things I'm looking forward to. Like, Harold Fannin's playing tonight, right? Help me if I say someone who's not playing tonight. Gage Larvedan, I'm looking forward to seeing him at number 84.
Just calling him Gage.
It's
like Slade.
Luke Floria, the kid from Menor and Kent State, 37. Keep your eye on him tonight. He should get significant time, I would hope. I hope these guys get time. Anybody else?
I want to see
Is Samson playing tonight?
Yeah, I believe he is.
Okay, Dylan Samson tonight. I'm looking forward to that.
I want to see how the first team Panthers defense looks against this offense and all of it. So like those first 2 to 3 drives, I'm locked in. And I want to see what the defense looks like going against Bryce Young and all that kind of stuff. And I know it'll be a bunch of the backups and, we'll see. Keep it locked in right here. Probably around that, 5 o'clock area, 5:30 area. We'll know who's playing, who's not playing, the inactive list, all that kind of stuff. But I want to see what that kind of looks like because I want to see what the process looks like. I know it's going to be a super vanilla playbook. I want to see how much under center, bootleg, all of that kind of stuff is back into this offense. That's the stuff I want to see.
But how much of this are they going to be able to run if you don't have your first teamers in there, your second teamers even?
I mean, you can still see a skeleton, right?
Are we running a high school? We're running like some sort of high school offense then, right?
I think you can still see something that you can install
in 2 days, in a day?
Well, I mean, they've been working on this since minicamp. So there should be some semblance in there. I mean, these guys got handed the playbook at rookie minicamp. I assume they've opened it and looked at it at least once or twice or opened the iPad, and have seen it in there. And I assume there should be some semblance. Again, this isn't going to be like a finished product or anything like that, but there's at least going to be a skeleton, and I want to see what that skeleton looks like.
Coach is in Cleveland. Hi, Coach.
What's up, Coach?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Doing well, man. And yourself?
Hey. I'm pretty good. Listen, first off, this narrative on Shedeur is so screwed up. I hate listening to everybody.
There you go. And I'll buy that.
I can understand if there's some developmental work because he sat in a one-back, four-wide shotgun system all his life. Stefanski runs a lot of play action, roll out bootlegs because of the misdirection.
Yep.
He wants the cause.
Well, and you clearly know this, Coach. How long? I've always heard that Stefanski play calls are super long on top of that.
And you know what? I think there's a thing, I said it before, that one of my coaches used to always say to our head coach, his kiss. Like, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
He literally outthinks himself. He reminds me a lot of Jeff Rotsky. Just outthinks himself. They're so brilliant that there's so much going on in their head.
Why are you taking a shot at Rotsky, man? We're talking about Listen, NFL here. Rotsky is your boy. All right, that's fine.
That's my boy.
As long as you're giving him love. I thought you were taking a shot at him. That's my boy. I'm not a big fan of taking shots at high school coaches on this show, especially because
I would do that.
Okay, cool.
I was a high school coach. But the thing of it is, you know, Shador, when they talk about his development, I think it's not necessarily his technical development. His analytical development, I think it's technical, whereas when you go from a shotgun to under the center, there's a lot of footwork involved in getting in the right positions to run what's the fancy runs, that bootleg, play sprint out, he runs that play action. That has to be coordinated. If that's not smooth, it's not going to work. But the bottom line is, for him to have the success tonight, if his offensive line ain't giving him no time, his running game isn't giving him anything, he's going to have problems because they're going to come. But if he has time, he's going to make throws because he is used to playing with the twos and the threes.
Right.
And the one thing you can't question, and you got to have this out your quarterback, is confidence, leadership, and that gun he got. You can't question that. No. I don't care who you are.
Well, I mean, but he's got to. You're saying he's got to have that confidence. I got to imagine it's not easy having that confidence.
He's got the confidence. That's been bred into him.
Okay.
He's got that.
At some point, he's still a young man, though, right, Coach? You got to give him a little time, though, don't you? I mean, I know you might say it's in his DNA, but. I mean, I'm sure anytime you handed the ball to a quarterback at any given time, and it was you might think he might have been the best, most straightforward, best leader you've ever seen. I mean, there's still a little bit of nerves when you walk into that huddle for the first time with a new team, right? I don't care who he is, what his last name is.
He might have a little bit, okay. But he's been bred for this.
All right, I'll buy that.
You know, it's like, I mean, I've seen some phenomenal quarterbacks. High school and college, got to know him, got to work with him a little bit. And they all had that moxie. You know, he walked out there, I'm the baddest, like Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
When he walked on the field, I'm the baddest boy out here.
As a quarterback or?
As a quarterback.
Yeah. Were you at Heights or no?
Yeah. Heights. I coached running backs there when Travis was a senior.
There you go.
He had to stand next to me every day because if you didn't keep your eye on him, the kid was gone. He's in the linebacker drills. He's running routes. And I'm like, oh, my. And they're like, get him. Get him out my drill. It was, you know, he was a phenomenal athlete even then. I mean, he was a quarterback, and we ran everything. And that kid was just.
No, I do. I remember watching. Right, hey, Coach, thank you. Thanks for giving back to the kids, too, years, too.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
And by the way, my calmness, I picked that up from Rotsky, how to be calm.
Okay.
All right, thanks. I've never seen a coach go crazier on the field or in practice than Rotsky. Like, insane. And this goes back to the first time I met him when he was at Chanel. Insane. He loves his kids. I will say that. And he turns programs around. And he's doing a great job at VASJ right now, too. So, do you agree with what he said, though?
I want to see it. You know, I want to see what this looks like. You know, sure, there's a lot of intangibles and all that kind of stuff, but like intangibles get you to a certain level. You need everything else that comes with it. You need the time, you need the effort, you need the understanding, you need the abilities that all go there. And that's what I want to see in this, because you're going to see Shador Sanders go up against ones and twos. Shador Sanders has seen ones and twos for the Cleveland Browns. He's not seen ones and twos for another group. Now, granted, again, it's vanilla defenses. It's all that kind of stuff that goes with it. But it's still a different uniform. And it's still veterans who can bait you. And it's still veterans who have some tricks up their sleeves and all of that kind of stuff that you probably didn't see when you were at Colorado. And not even just Colorado. I'd feel the same way about Dylan Gabriel in Oregon. Like, there are veterans who are out there who have some tricks up their sleeves that rookies don't see. I just want to see what this looks like. I want to see where he is, and if he comes out and he looks horrid and he throws two picks and the offense is a mess, then we're going to throw our hands up and go, he's still developing. Okay, we'll see that in time. If he rolls out and he looks great, it'll go one of two ways that comes with it. One of them, everyone's going to scream and yell and say that he needs more reps, he needs more time, he needs all these different things.
Right.
And you'll get another group of people who will go, do you remember DTR? At both both camps will be right. The camp that says he needs more reps is going to be right, and the camp that says, do you remember DTR, is going to be right. And so that's the thing with this. We're going to walk out of here maybe understanding where Shedeur Sanders is in the development process. Maybe. All I know is it's going to be must-see TV. It's going to be entertaining.
I'm just looking to see who. So who's not playing tonight? Pickett, Tillman, Jones.
You're just looking on offense?
Yeah, I was just looking to see. Well, no, I'm just looking to see. Is there an actual list that's out there that says who's not playing tonight?
No, you won't get that till inactives come out.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I have a feeling that's going to read off quite long. I mean, it's the first preseason game, and we know how Kevin Stefanski treats these.
When you're carrying a four deep, you can do that, right? It's not like, you know.
It will be the second team offensive line. Sans Zach Center, who's hurt and didn't make the trip. It'll be the second team offensive line. It'll be the second and third team wide receivers. It'll be the second and third team running backs. And Shedeur Sanders
Deontay
at the helm.
Johnson, do you play him tonight? I wouldn't. I don't think he'd
probably
play
not.
I mean, I think you could frustrate. I'm not
could frustrate him.
I want to see him get to the regular season.
You're not wrong. That's the reason why I'm
that's
laughing.
Why I just like I'm like. You put a guy out there that possibly could be a first team wide receiver, and you put. I'm not messing with that.
You're not wrong. That's the main part of this is.
Are we going to see Carson Schwarzenegger tonight?
I don't
want to
handle guys with kid gloves, but like Deontay Johnson, I feel like we have to handle with kid gloves a little.
Are we going to see Mason Graham tonight?
No.
Well, these guys need to get on the field, man. I'm sorry.
I play all the rookies.
Yeah, Carson Schwarzenegger, he's got to get on the field tonight, right?
I think so. I would play all the rookies personally just because I think more reps equals more opportunity, and especially going up against the first-team defense.
You got to let these guys put on their NFL uniform for the first time and run out on the field and go play a couple plays.
Yeah, I think so. At least as long as the first-team offense is in for Carolina, I would have those guys out there.
Lance Risland, Cleveland.com. Coach Riz coming up next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. You know, we play at the end of the show every day, why am I smarter? I got to tell you, every time we talk to Coach Riz, I am smarter. Oh, man. Lance Risland is going to join us right now. He is on the Fan hotline, if I can get my computer to work. Ah, there we go. Hi, Lance. How are you?
What's up, Coach?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Happy game day.
Happy game day. I am so ready. And by the way, you know, you're nice enough to send us some stuff, and as we read it stuff, I got to tell you, you do make me smarter every time that I read your stuff. So I do appreciate you, and it was good to see you at camp last week, too. So.
Absolutely. Great giving you guys some information that maybe you don't see every day.
Oh, it's true. All right, so give the fans some information. By the way, you're going to be on our tailgate show, too, throughout the season. Looking forward to having you on the team.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
So what is the real story here with the quarterbacks? Like, if they were all healthy tonight, how do you think this thing would have shaken out? And, you know, what should we be expecting for Shedeur Sanders tonight?
Well, the first thing I think for the Browns as a whole, not just the quarterback situation, there has to be a sense of urgency. They're coming off a very poor year where expectations were high. So for me, as I always try to think of it through my dad's lens or a coach's lens in terms of you got to have a high sense of urgency, almost irritability, attention to detail. There has to be body language that says we weren't very good last year and we're going to try to be better. So the quarterback position, I think they've done a really, really good job. The thing that I feel after watching each and every day is they're trying to get all these guys up to speed in terms of what they should know, right? Because you can't play well unless you know the offense and know where everybody's supposed to be. And then things kind of go where they may. Now, the workload that they've given Shedeur as compared to Dylan hasn't been the same. Now, I think this is a great opportunity. And if Shedeur plays well tonight, it's because of how they've kind of scaffolded and built him up throughout camp. I thought they did a really good job of giving him throws that kind of get him in rhythm. Obviously, he has some bad habits. I think those bad habits come from backpedaling when he was out of Oklahoma. But I think this is an opportunity. This is, you know, I've heard the narrative of, you know, being set up for failure. This is a great opportunity to work with the guys that he's worked with. And, you know, I think everybody's got, it's going to be too much either way, right? He's got that first series, couple series, he's going to see a one NFL defense. That's going to be an adjustment. What happens from there is kind of my thing. But I think this is a great opportunity. I think it worked out well for him. I thought he's had a really good camp. He seems like a really good teammate. I think it's going to be too much either way. Whatever happens tonight, got to kind of let it build. I know that's what the coaches are thinking. Let's see what he does and then build off it.
All right, Lance, give me a couple things that Shedeur will do that you're going to have an eye on. Give us like a couple things that fans can look at that you typically wouldn't look at, you know, and we're all going to look completions, interceptions, touchdowns, all that kind of stuff. But like, give us a couple things, you know, maybe in the inner workings that you're going to be watching.
Well, you know, the thing I've noticed with him is obviously when he was at Colorado, he didn't have a lot of pass protection and he didn't have a run game. So he's in the gun a lot. And he had to rely on kind of finding time for himself, right? So that's where everybody's talking about that drifting. So the first thing I want to see is I want to see his footwork underneath center when he gets out from underneath center, both in play action and in the run game, whatever it be. How fluid does that look? How fluid does his ball handling look? Because that all affects your balance when you're throwing the ball. Where I've seen a lot of success for him, especially the last couple of days of camp, is when he's in empty, right? So that tells you he can process really well. He's really good when he processes the information and gets rid of the ball quickly. What you want to see tonight against really fast people is, can he make those decisions if the first read's not there? Because when the first read's there, he's fundamentally sound. He transfers his weight. He gets from his right side to his left side. He doesn't have an elite arm. He doesn't have that Josh Allen arm. So he's got to use that torque and use that whole body when he's throwing. So that'd be kind of the thing. How does he adjust from the different launch points from underneath center in the gun? And then when things go bad, when you're getting hit, now you're getting hit. How does that affect your footwork? And because you kind of realize sometimes you go back to bad habits. We all do when things get kind of heated, right? When things get sped up, when the clock gets sped up. So just kind of his composure as the game goes along through the ups and the downs. And there'll be both, but he's got to kind of maintain his level of, you know, cognizance what he's doing with the offense.
Explain Dylan Gabriel to me and what is going on with him, because I've heard some like nasty things about him over the last week, and I'm wondering, would it be as nasty if we knew who the number one quarterback is? Would it be as nasty if they didn't draft two quarterbacks? Are they trying just to overload him, or is he really struggling trying to learn a little bit?
Well, I don't think he's, you know, it's funny. It's a product-based, you know, I'm a process guy, right? So when I watch him at practice, I see him setting pass protections. I see smooth footwork. I see all the things leading up to the throw that have been very, very good from Dylan since the start of camp, since the summer. I've watched all the throws all summer, too. However, his last 3 or 4 days, his accuracy was real off. Now, when your accuracy is real off for Dylan, it's because of his height. Sometimes it's height, but sometimes it's, you know, he's played with big tackles at Oklahoma and Oregon. It's not like he's now with 6'5 guys. He's played with this his whole career. So some of those things are warranted because of his height. He has, you can see through the, you know, standing on the sideline, seeing some of the lanes he throws through. But the praise and the criticism of both these guys have been way overboard. He's done a lot of really good things. However, there have been people who basically base it on the product. And that's really, unfortunately, that's what it comes down to. You got to complete passes. You got to win games. And those last 3 or 4 days, he was not very accurate. But I saw a thing, to be accurate, you have to understand protection. You have to have good footwork. You have to have good fundamentals. So will that carry over once live action happens? That's the next step. But yeah, he has been good with everything he's done. Last 3 or 4 days, accuracy was a real struggle for him.
Lance Rise on Cleveland.com and a playing dealer joining us on the North Homestead Crisis. Joining us on the fan hotline. Lance, does the hamstring have anything to do with some of that inaccuracy as well? Would you think some of those mechanics are coming back to the fact that he's got that yanked hammy? Because I'm also wondering on the Kenny Pickett side of things, that stuff may look a little shaky because of those hammies.
Well, you know, maybe a little bit when they drive the ball, you know, coming off that back foot, depending on what leg it is. You know, the groin is more in the drops. That would be more the issue for a quarterback. But anytime you're trying to drive the football, and both he and Pickett are guys that they're not arm talent guys where they're throwing off platform. That's all the rage, right? We're gonna throw off platform. We're gonna throw from different launch points. There's a certain time in football too. You have to throw with really good fundamentals and use that lower half. And anytime you're using that lower half, your hamstrings are going to be involved. Now, depending on if it's his drive foot or, you know, his back foot, whatever it may be, I'm sure it's affecting him a little bit. But more importantly, at that level, if you're thinking at all, your feet aren't moving. And the minute that happens in the NFL, it's just like with Shador when he drops back a little bit, when he drifts a little bit. Well, if his weight's back, that's a millisecond. In the NFL, that's a pick, right? So I just think all that stuff on his mind, anytime you're not just reacting in the game of football, especially at that level, bad things can happen. So I do think it has a little bit of effect, but more probably just to make sure that he can last the duration of camp, in my opinion.
Outside of the quarterbacks, what are you most looking forward to seeing tonight?
Well, I want to see, you know, for me, I have a couple things. One is I want to see that receiver spot, right? Obviously, you got the top guys, but guys like Floria, Caden Davis, Gage Larvadan, these guys, Jamari Thrash, who I think is already in, but these guys have had really good camps, and they provide things that the Browns haven't had in the slot receiver. So I'm really excited for those young receivers. I want to see the defensive line depth. This guy named Ralph Holly, everybody knows the starters, but Holly and Juwan Briggs, these guys who can be the next guys in this deep defensive line, And then we got to, you know, I think the Browns really got to figure out what they're doing at that one high safety, right? Is it going to be Hickman? Now that Emerson's out, Hickman's been down in the box a little bit. I know that's where Delpit would be. So who's going to be that one high safety who has to create some turnovers? Is it Kazee? Is it Hickman? Is it Jenkins who they just brought in? So just some of those depth issues. And for me, it's more about not position. It's a sense of urgency and having body language that shows you weren't very good last year, and that's not acceptable. Because without expectations, you kind of get complacent, in my opinion. So the expectations for these guys should be very high tonight to play at a very high, irritated level, in my opinion.
Would you play Mason Graham and Carson Schlesinger tonight?
I would. Yeah, I think it's always important. My dad always taught me you can be physical without being silly, right? So I think if you get out there, you can get hurt in anything you do. I think some of the injuries that happen in football are when you're going half speed and some guys don't go half speed and some guys go full speed and you get an ankle, you get a twist. I think if you got them out there a series of two, I think it's important, especially if the Panthers are going to play their ones, I think it's important that you get that game seed with no scripts, right? Because anything you're doing in practice, it's scripted and they know what run is coming and they know how they should react and coaches are watching on how they should react. I think it's always important to, you know, put the ball down, play a couple plays. Doesn't mean you have to be out there, you know, 20 snaps. Maybe you get, you know, 5 to 10 snaps just to kind of get yourself up to game speed, which allows you not to get off the slow starts in seasons and games, in my opinion.
Hmm. I'm looking forward to Harold Fannin Jr. He should play tonight, right? I can't imagine he's not playing. I'm looking forward to watching him play. How good is this kid?
Well, he's really good. So I think 12 personnel with Tillman, if he can be healthy, and obviously Jerry Jeudy, who seems like he had a great joint practice down in Carolina as well. That 12 personnel could be really, really good. If he can block, his receiver skill set is elite, and he's a problem in the red zone if you put a corner on him. He's a problem in line with linebackers and tight ends. If they go 12 personnel, they can split teams out and find matchups, where I think Kevin Stefanski does a wonderful job of. If he can isolate and kind of have like a little bit of a fullback mentality, a little bit of a tight end mentality, where if teams try to play nickel and get linebackers out and they can run the ball, that gives them their best set, I think, because he's a super talented receiver. If he can be physical in the run game, that 12 personnel will be the Browns' best set this year, I think.
How hard is it for Tyler Huntley to come in and execute after only being here for, what, 72 hours?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So everybody says he's been here, right? And the thing is, in football, there's only so much you can do, right? So with the Browns, they have some basic packages just like everybody does. So you're going to see things like three-step drops, hitches, slants, fades, right? Easy concepts to the outside, kind of take away the middle where you have to do all that reading, especially if you haven't had reps. They're also going to run that ball, and they're going to run the boot, which means they're going to run play action. There's going to be a guy high, a guy in the middle, and a guy low. It's the same read versus every single coverage. You just have to adjust where you're going with the ball depending on where coverage is. So they're going to, some of these basic concepts, everybody runs in the NFL. So for him, it's different because of timing and who receivers he hasn't had a lot of work with. But the plays, he'll be okay because they'll keep it very simple for him. It'll be simple three and five-step drops, ins and outs, couple levels concepts, but it'll be very basic for him and a lot of run game, you would assume, when he's in the game.
Hmm. You talked about the wide receivers for another second. Is it a dogfight for guys like Floria and Larvidane to make the practice squad or to actually be on the roster, especially if they keep four quarterbacks? I think you were talking about practice squad, right?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. Obviously, being a Mentor kid, being a Kent State kid, you know, you think he's a feel-good story. Floria has not been a feel-good story. Floria can really play. So can this Gage Larvidane. They can both. Now, the thing about Larvidane, he's played inside and outside. He's been uncomfortable all camp. But he can play. I think his versatility will help him. I think the big thing for those guys making the team tonight is, where are they on special teams? Yeah. Are they able to return punts? Can they cover punts? Because they give Browns a little bit different. If they're going to go in 11 personnel, obviously Deontay Johnson's there, but it gives them a little different slot, right? Flory is a true slot that can get you the second four, which should help the quarterback not being passing situations. Larvidane, I've been really, really impressed with his ability to be inside and outside. You know, obviously, I think Thrash is there, so you're absolutely right about the fourth quarterback. But these are guys who have played all camp and have produced against everybody. It hasn't just been against the twos and threes. They've produced against everybody. I'm interested to see, again, put the ball down, see these guys play, and then you can start to get a real evaluation when live action happens.
Do you really believe they're going to keep four active quarterbacks going into the regular season? I think in the back of your mind, if you're a general manager, you're probably going, okay, let's just assume there's going to be attrition or one of these guys is probably going to be hurt. I can't see that any other way, especially when you talk about these sixth, seventh wide receivers or extra bodies, you know, in the defensive backfield. Holding three guys onto a roster that can't play on Sunday just does not make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So I will say this, just from this watching practice, I think what they're doing is I think they're giving them a fair chance, even though people don't believe that. They are really doing a good job of making sure that they can get an evaluation the best they can with four quarterbacks. And obviously that's tough to do, but I think they've done a good job of splitting fields. I think they've done a good job of making sure at the end of practice, both Gabriel and Sanders go through the same script that Flacco and Pickett went through earlier in the day. They do that at the end of practice almost every day. So they've done a good job. Now you got to go out and play. And I think, you know, the thing that is lost in a lot of this stuff is competition is not a bad thing. I don't think they keep four. I think they keep the best three. And whoever that is, because I still think winning is the most important thing. Development, if you worry about too much about development, you're developing for another coach, right? So
yeah.
I think winning's got to be the priority, and you take the best guy. And if a guy, you know, if Stefanski's bosses say, we want this guy, okay. But until then, Stefanski should be saying, I'm playing the best guys, the guys that give me a chance to win, because losing's not acceptable. Everybody says, oh, it's a bye year. It won't be that way if they're off to a bad start. You got to win. So for me, I don't think they keep four, but we'll see. But they got to win, and they got to prove to all those veterans that winning is the most important thing. And I think you keep the top three guys. Fourth guy goes to practice squad. If he gets picked up, he gets picked up. That's part of the business, right? So
yep.
I'm with you on that.
Well, well said. Well said, my friend. Hey, enjoy the game tonight. We're looking forward to having you on the tailgate show and throughout the season as well. Thanks.
Appreciate it, man. Talk soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you'll hear him tonight on the postgame show for the Browns as they take on Carolina right here on 92.3 The Fan. 216-474-0092 is the number to get in during the day. I'll be back a little bit later this afternoon. I don't even think I'm going to go home. I'll just stay downtown here for a little bit, and then I'll be on the network pregame show as we get you set for kickoff tonight, which is on the Browns Radio Network, which you'll hear here on 92.3 The Fan. So I'll be over on our sister station, NCX, there before the game.
Get you with an evening ahead of you.
I know. I'm just trying to see. Maybe I can go over to Q and do a show over there real quick.
Do that real quick. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and then...
Yes, break it down. Latest Taylor Swift rumors, all that kind of good stuff.
Oh, man. What do you think of them buying a house here, if that's going to happen or not?
Good for them. You may as well. It's a great place to live, as we know.
Yeah, and you know what? No one's going to bug... Do you really think anyone's going to bug her here? Or him. He doesn't.
There's a lot of nuts all over the place.
I'm going to tell you. Weird. But so, last time I saw Travis, he was here when the Chiefs were here. But before that, I was at a funeral for a good friend. And, like, it was just weird. Like, you got to help me out. I understand. Big deal. So he was at, so Jason and Travis were both at this for Steve Bogus, rest his soul, former Mayfield hockey coach, Cleveland Heights guy. But like people were walking up and taking pictures, trying to ask those guys for pictures at the funeral home.
You don't do pictures at a funeral home. That's weird.
It was a wake, you know. It was just
that feels like a
pretty. Maybe if you're outside and they're walking back to their car and you're like, "Hey, I'm sorry to bug you, but I want to." I cannot tell you how cool both of those guys were about it too. I mean, they were just like, "Hey, yeah, hey, sure, you know, whatever." I mean, it's just so weird. Now, I Steve is probably laughing, you know what, off in heaven on this thing. But, you know, look at all these people. I can just see him saying that. Isn't that weird?
It's not something that I would do. It's just not the place to do it at a funeral.
No.
Like, there's a lot, or a funeral home even. Funeral home, all of that stuff. Like, I feel like there's a lot of places that are better to do such things than... As you're mourning the death of someone and their family is standing around them heartbroken and you're over here going, hey, can I get a picture?
I just think it's weird, don't you? Like, I don't care. I don't know. I don't
have
ask.
Have a little decorum.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying, like, you know, all of these things should be stuffy. Like, hey, I love the evolution really cool, of, like, you know.
You know, like, well, how do you explain that to people, too? You're like, wow, you had both the Kelce brothers that were in the same place at the same time and... You guys took that picture? That's awesome. Where were you guys? Wake. Seriously? Yeah, we were at a wake.
Wake. Yep.
And the problem is all it takes is one person, right?
Caught him right before the priest walked up and started leading us and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like, I cannot tell you how much credit I gave those guys that night on top of just, you know, just being regular guys. But, man, I just... So, like, I also wonder if, you know, if they move here, like, why wouldn't you? You can be, I mean, there's plenty of places on the east side where you can be, no one will ever know you're there. Plenty of places on the west side, no one will ever know you're there.
It's kind of like how everybody was making that move to Montana for a while for that reason.
I was there.
You could just blend in.
So a lot of them, when I was living there, we had a lot of people that were moving in. And like I remember I sat down at dinner one night, and I looked next to me, Hank Williams Jr. sitting next to me. Oh, and I was just like, that was a ding too, bro.
Oh, but I'm aware.
I just want to make sure.
I need more hands, Andy. I need more hands.
Okay, thank you. And so, you know, I was just like, oh, hey, cool, Hank Williams Jr. And just eat. Like, it's not, I don't know. I think sometimes we pretend that people are bigger than life. They're not. They really aren't. Sorry, hate to break it to you. I mean, I love Travis, love Jason, but they're just seriously two really big guys from Cleveland Heights. That's all they are. And I'm sure, you know, maybe it's blasphemy to say that Taylor Swift's probably a real person, but she is. I hate to say it. And she goes to the bathroom every once in a while, too. Yep, sorry. Right
now, once again, we're back in the bathroom.
Well, I think it's the great human equalizer, isn't it?
This whole show is about us just avoiding being in the bathroom.
And by the way, when we come into the world, we don't have any clothes on. No, there's another one for you. Shocker. And do we really
in the bathroom, back in the bathroom.
And do we really want to talk about how 99.9% of us got here? Okay, right?
So anyway, how about those Browns? Before I get in trouble,
right? Right. How about those Browns? They play tonight. Did Lance say anything that like kind of knocked your socks off?
I liked what he did breaking down. This is what you need to look at to determine how developed Shedeur Sanders is. And the idea that you're going to see some of the stuff that he ran in high school or college, I should say, sorry, so that he could get more comfortable. I liked hearing that out of coach. That stood out to me. That's like, okay.
Is that not putting him in a position to succeed?
I mean, yes. Yeah. They'll get him some easy throws early. They'll probably rely on the run game a little bit. I look at this whole thing as being nothing but an opportunity for a quarterback to show either A, I'm developing well, I'm coming along at a proper pace, or I'm exceeding expectations, or B, I need a little bit more time. Like, I don't see anything that is going to take place in this game that is going to make anyone go, he's a bust, get him out. And if you are walking around saying, he's a bust, get him out, you probably need to realize that there's more to life than hot takes and that maybe a little nuance can only help you. Like, because you're going to get that. I borderline wonder if Browns fans need to just take their phones and delete social media off of all of their apps and only have their friends text them during the game, and that's it. Because I wonder if that would clear up some of the air and some of the nonsense that's taking place out there is to just completely get rid of the outside noise of anybody else besides the football minds you trust.
And that's who. You know what I'm saying? I just...
But everybody's different. Like,
do me a favor.
Stephen A. yelling and screaming.
Flash forward to Monday. What's this place going to be like?
I have a feeling we are going to flip on the microphones and go, well, that happened. There were some points that looked okay that you could clearly build upon. And he looked overwhelmed in the very beginning of the game, but it looked better as the game went on. And I think that's the conversation you and I are going to be having. I think there will be some people who will come on and go, yeah, but look how good he looked in the second half. And look how good he looked toward snaps 25 to 50. Focus in on those. And I think there's another point that's like, he needs time. He needs time. And I think there will be a small chunk that are going to try to get a rise out of everybody else by screaming and yelling, get him off, cut him, trade him for a sack of footballs.
I think it's going to be more the other. I think people are going to be like, well, I don't understand why he's not starting. It doesn't matter what he does. Because they're going to say, you know, I saw some good things, no matter what you see. Oh, I saw some good things out there. Can you imagine what he's going to look like with the first team offense? Can you imagine what he'll look like with, you know, first team wide receivers, first team running back, first team tight ends? I mean, come on, man. We saw, you know, I saw success out there. You might have saw him get sacked, but I saw success.
I wonder if DTR taught us all something. Like, I partially wonder if maybe the DTR experience kind of taught everybody that, like, okay, maybe we should take everything that takes place in these games with a grain of salt. I do. And
yes,
I know that.
Yes, we should. We should take everything you see. Again, they're trying to get work in.
Correct.
That like no one ever wants to think about that. That if they, you know, if they have a bad play call on third down tonight, it's because they're trying to see if something works.
Well, so have you seen the Discord floating around about Anthony Richardson, that sack that he took? And so there's this whole Discord that's coming with it. For those of you who missed it, Anthony Richardson, it was a 4-man rush.
Yep.
clearly the rusher got missed off the outside, and he got pummeled into the dirt. And it's the play that he dislocated his pinky on. Okay. And there has been this whole discourse that has come off of it of, oh, they missed the block, they did this. Then you've got former quarterbacks and coaches and all that stuff on Twitter going, nah, that's actually on the quarterback himself by not pointing and realizing that the rush was coming and that he was hot and moving the production and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're always going to run into those type of situations, and I bet Shador will have one or two of those moments in this game. And I just think everybody needs to pump the brakes on everything and realize that everybody is working on stuff in the same way that we've realized it in spring training with pitchers, where a pitcher gets lit up in spring training and nobody freaks out because they're like, well, for all we know, they walked out there and only threw fastballs. I think this might go the same direction, that everybody just needs to pump the brakes and realize that, hey, maybe Kevin Stefanski only called the first three pages of the playbook because that's what needed to be worked on and that's what Shador was most comfortable with in that time. I just think we all need to remember DTR. Just remember DTR. It was a lot of fun. He made the tail end of those preseason games an absolute blast. And when he came in against first-team offenses, it all went to squat. Just remember DTR.
I can't argue that. And again, I also can't forget about the electricity that was in the stadium for the Ravens game. And
right.
I was standing out there just kind of, I don't know, top of the dog pound off on the south side. There's a bridge right there as you head back into the main section on the south side. And people were like, DTR.
Oh, yeah.
DTR. And I was like, wow. And people were so excited for him. They were so pumped. And then the Ravens came in and just pummeled the Browns.
And then it just all went south in a hurry, and he looked lost and overwhelmed and everything else. I just think we all need to remember DTR. And when we come in here on Monday, we will all have forgotten that message and need to be reminded once again of DTR.
All right, it is a game day, so we will do quick predicts coming up at 1:40. Quick predicts, you'll tell us the score of tonight's game against the Panthers and what Monday morning's headline is going to be. That'll be at 1:40, so stand by. We got a little ways off on that. When we do come back, though, we're going to talk to Chris Ostheimer from the Chronicle-Telegram. We're also going to bring in Chris Rose at 1 o'clock. It's all the Chris's coming up here in the next hour. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.